What's going on, Fourth and Inches podcast listeners? You got Dan, Kevin, Stevie P coming at you. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, world? What's going on, boys?
What's up, everybody?
All right, so Monday podcast, we're going to get in our good calls and bad calls for the past week, get into the news, and touch on this week's waiver wire. But first, don't forget to check us out on the website at www.4thandinchesff.com. That's www.4thandinchesff.com. For a bunch of content, you got articles, blogs, player profiles, rankings, and you can subscribe to our VIP content. This will give you access to DFS info and it'll also give you access to the cheat codes, which we'll keep updated frequently. So check those out and also look for us on the Fantasy Life app. We'll be doing start sick questions on there throughout the year. And if you're listening to the podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button and give us a 5-star rating. Also, if you're trying to get into a $2 FanDuel tournament with, you know, yours truly, you can test your wits in some daily fantasy against Dan, Steve, and myself. You know, the link to the tournament is in the podcast show notes. So just click on that link. It'll take you right to the tournament, throw your lineup in, and, you know, good luck to you. Steve, you want to get into the player guide that you were going to do this offseason a little bit?
Yeah, so basically we are going to do a player guide. It's going to be every viable player that you would even remotely think about drafting in your fantasy football league next year. We are going to do basically it's going to be a, you know, we're going to talk about the guy, what we see on film about him. We're going to talk about, you know, giving him a player grade so that you guys can kind of gauge him towards other players in the same position. You know, you're obviously, you know, Christian McCaffrey is going to get an A. I mean, so
A plus.
that dude is just a beast. But, you know, it's going to basically player grade the guys so that you can see, you know, people that we have in the A tier and the B tier, you know, and basically just break it down that way. So it makes it a little bit easier when you guys start drafting. And then you can read bios, like things that we saw on film and, you know, things that we see, you know, if he gets in the open field or guys catching him from behind and, you know, those kind of things. So, you know, just a nice little guide to help you out with your fantasy football team next year. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy that.
All right, so that is the beginning. Now let's get into the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All righty then, in the news today, if you guys are watching the Monday night game, you obviously just saw Tyreek Hill come up limp. Looks like he has a hamstring injury and he's questionable return. So that is immediate news.
Significant.
Yes. So Sean McVay has no update on Robert Woods. Still handling personal matter. Brandon Cooks expected to play versus the Ravens. That is awesome news. Just, you know, honestly, one of my favorite players, you know, so to see him getting back on the field after, you know, the concussion scare, you know, I'm really happy to see him playing again. You know, that kind of stuff is, it's a little bit scary. Let's see here. LeSean McCoy is active for week 11 against the Chargers in the Monday night game. So that's, you know, that's news. I don't know if that really matters, but it's news. Dallas Morning News, Michael, what is that? Gilkin? Reports that Amari Cooper is still fighting through his knee injury. Well, it definitely showed last week.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard, concussion, was a full participant in practice on Monday. Don't worry, guys. He will be concussed again and be out for the rest of the season. That dude, every time he comes back, he gets hurt again. Deshaun Watson's ankle is listed as a full participant in the Texans' practice Monday, which is a big deal because, you know, that actually, did you guys see that play? He got bent backwards. His ankle looked all crazy. I was like, literally just went back like nothing happened. I couldn't even believe it.
I watched the highlights of that game today, and yeah, they chewed him up that entire game. They
he couldn't breathe, dude. He was literally guys all over him all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coach Matt Patricia says that Matthew Stafford remains week to week. So when a coach says week to week, guys, that normally means that they're not going to play this week. So, you know, take that as, you know, look for another quarterback if you have Matthew Stafford. Eric Ebron was listed as he did not participate in the team's estimated estimated practice report Monday. Matt Patricia said Matthew Stafford, we already read that. T.Y. Hilton and Eric Ebron listed as did not practice. Will Fuller listed as a limited participant. And that's the Thursday night game, guys. So it's going to be a quick turnaround. If they're not practicing tomorrow, if we don't hear, Tuesday, then they're probably not going to play. And because Wednesday is just a walkthrough, so they don't really do practice on Wednesday. So, definitely make sure you listen to that. Coach Dan Quinn said that tight end Austin Hooper is trending in the right way. We heard that was a 4-week injury. So unless he has a healing serum we don't know about, I think he's trending to be out this week. Coach Dan Quinn said Devontae Freeman is also trending in the right way. I think that's just what he likes to say. Dan Quinn, we read that. Head coach Zach Taylor indicating receivers Auden Tate is in the concussion protocol following Sunday's hit that he took took him out of the game. That was crazy. Also has a cervical strain. Yeah, if you watch that hit, that was brutal. And he was trying to get back up. I was like, dude, don't move. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reports that James Conner's shoulder status for Week 12 against the Bengals is up in the air. Steelers running back James Conner, AC joint injury, in last week's game against the Browns, source said, good news overall, but status for Sunday's game against the Bengals is up in the air, blah, 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 blah. Adam Schefter reports Juju Smith-Schuster's injured his knee in the same play that he suffered a concussion in Week 11's game. Yeah, he did look like he fell. He went down funny. Like, if you watched that hit, he definitely had a concussion. Like, we know that. But his whole body just kind of bent very weirdly. At first I thought it was just a knee to begin with. I didn't even know it was a concussion until, they said concussion. Let's see here. What do we got? We have per coach Frank Wright, running back Marlon Mack, hand, and safety Kyrie Williams, concussion, have each been ruled out for Thursday's game. That hand injury, that sucks. That really sucks. A broken hand for Marlon Mack is a big deal. And, on Wednesday's tonight's podcast, we'll get into, what we're going to do about that. Bears coach Matt Nagy said that Mitchell Trubisky suffered a right hip pointer. Bullshit. At the end of the second quarter in Sunday's game. Let's see here. We have the Browns coach Freddie Kitchens says David Njoku wrist from IR is day-to-day. So that's promising. If you need a tight end, maybe, he's a tight end to look for because Baker has been throwing to the tight end. So that could be a good thing. The Bucks coach Bruce Arians said that Jameis Winston should play this week versus Atlanta. Said he looked good today after yesterday's he left with an ankle injury. Let's see. Frank Reich said Jonathan Williams and Jordan Wilkins will share a workload as well as Nyheim Hines. And there you go. let's see here. Evan Engram said he got a 2-4 week diagnosis for his foot sprain. Today is week 2. He thinks he's ahead of schedule and could be ready for this week.
But he did not practice today.
Yeah, he did not practice today. and from the Evan Engram track record that we all know very well, because I'm sure he's been on your fantasy team before, he doesn't recuperate very well. He takes a little bit longer than most to come back from injury, so I wouldn't take him at his word on that one. Texans coach Bill O'Brien called Will Fuller's hamstring a game-time decision for Thursday's Week 12 game against the Colts. So that means Will Fuller's out.
Yeah, Will Fuller ain't playing. What a
He's out. Unless I hear he's on the field ready to kick off, he's out. Let's see here. Todd Gurley carried the ball 25 times for 97 yards and a touchdown and caught 3 for 36 in Sunday night's game. And then the rest of this is all just talking about Monday night's game or Sunday night's game. So is there anything you guys want to hit on before we we knock it out of the park with the rest of this podcast?
Nothing we can't get into. I mean, I will say it sucked for Marlon Mack owners because he was having such a good game, and you watch Jonathan Williams. Jonathan Williams winds up rushing for more yards than Marlon Mack in that long run.
I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, oh my god,
this could have been a 200-yard Marlon Mack game if he stays. If you know that doesn't happen, it's you know.
Yeah, that really sucked because when tough he went Marlon out, Mack I was like, oh my god. I have in the league that I have him, I was sitting there going like, what happened to him? Is he coming back? I was praying he was coming back. And then I see Jonathan Williams getting all the carries, and I'm just like, oh.
And then Schefter tweets that he broke his hand, and I'm like, you got to be shitting.
Yeah, that was a depressing game to watch.
I think the Falcons should probably just keep Freeman on the sideline because they're winning without him.
For real.
Well, I'll say this. Brian Hill did not look very good either.
No.
I don't think this is a Devontae Freeman problem. I think it's an offensive line problem for the Falcons.
Yeah, they're bad.
You know, Quadri Allison, he got some work in this game too, but yeah, this is more of an offensive line issue, I think.
Yeah, they're bad. They're real bad. All right, so you want to get into our good calls of the week?
Yeah, we can get into our good calls. I'll start it off this week.
Real quick, before we get into this, guys, we don't do these good and bad calls to like pat ourselves on the back. We're kind of doing it because we're going to give you our bad calls and ream our asses about it. Like, we don't like getting shit wrong. And when we do, you know, we feel a little bit better when we're like, okay, we made a good call here, but these shit calls are terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, some of our calls are bad.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so good call, quarterback. I had Sam Darnold, number 12. Right now, he's the number 5 quarterback on the week. I told you guys he'd be a quarterback one this week, and he showed up and showed out in this game. 293 yards, 4 touchdowns passing. Did have an interception, but he gets you 34.4 fantasy points. I don't think you can ask for much more of a quarterback that you're picking up off the waiver wire. And he damn near won you some leagues. I mean, I started him in our league. I talked about that the other day, and dude killed it for me. So, you know, I must say, you know, anybody who listened and picked up Sam Darnold and started him against the Redskins this week or coming up, I believe he has Oakland, if I'm not mistaken. They play the Jets next week. Let me check on that for certain.
Yeah, week
Yes, they play Oakland, Cincinnati, and Miami in the next 3 weeks. So, you know, Sam Darnold is going to be a play for the next 3 weeks because all three of those defenses are bottom 7 in the NFL as far as fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks.
Yeah, and real quick, when we were talking about Sam Darnold the other day, we did say that, you know, last week's game might have given him some confidence. And, you know, sometimes when you get your confidence shaken, especially in the NFL, you know, you come out that next game and you just terrible. You just look terrible because, you know,
yep.
And it looked like last week he got his confidence back. So definitely a good game from Sam Darnold this week.
Yeah, 100%. My running back was Joe Mixon. I love what they're doing with Joe Mixon nowadays. I mean, in this game, he only had 18 touches, but that's still more than what he was getting before Ryan Finley got in there.
He gets
15 for 86 running the ball. So that means he was averaging, what, almost 6 yards a carry. Gets a touchdown, 3 catches for 17 yards, gets you 19.3 fantasy points. Definitely going to finish – probably, if not as an RB1, as a high-end RB2 at this point. I had him at 16. Joe Mixon, I've been preaching Joe Mixon. I think we have all been preaching. Joe Mixon will get it together. We thought it was going to be when A.J. Green came back. And A.J. didn't come back, and yet Joe Mixon is still producing. You know, the schedule just down the stretch is a whole lot better for him. And, you know, this was a game where Joe Mixon – you know, if you were able to start him in your lineup, you know, he really, you know, did well for you. And wide receiver, John Brown. I had John Brown, I believe, at 13 on the week. Right now he's the number 1 wide receiver.
Beast.
14 targets, 9 catches, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns. Literally just destroyed the Dolphins all day. They had nothing to do. They didn't know what to do with the guy. And, you know, those are my calls for the week that were, you know, wound up working out. So, Dan, why don't you get into year three?
All right. I previewed the Saints and Bucks game and pretty much towed it up, you know, Drew Brees and Kamara pretty good, you know, said that Latavius Murray in the games where without Kamara, he has been phenomenal. But when Kamara's in there, he kind of takes a back seat. And Murray's line was just 10 for 27. That's about it. I don't even know if he got any. He got 2 for 5 on the receiving end. But Brees put up a great game, 228 and 3 touchdowns. Kamara, 13 for 75, and he added a ton of receiving work, 10 for 47. Kamara didn't get in the end zone, but in PPR, you know, he got you 20-plus. And Michael Thomas, 8 for 414. And does this guy have a bad game? I mean, like, no. Does this guy have a bad game?
He does not.
Nope. He's a robot. He's the
turn. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. So, you know, they're 3 studs. Sometimes I like to make gutsy calls. It wasn't so much, you know, if they're on your team, you're starting them. But I was just really high on them. I just kind of had, you know, had that inkling that they were going to go off on Tampa Bay's secondary, and they did. Second pick was Todd Gurley. So during the game and early in the game, they were saying that, you know, this is the game that McVay wants to get Gurley involved in. I don't know why you wait till week 11 to get your best player going. I mean, it's been absolutely obvious that this offense is a shell of what they've looked like. And I think, you know, the two main factors is just Goff has looked terrible this year. And second, they're not playing Gurley. They haven't played Gurley. They've been doing too much committee. They're not getting anybody consistency. And they gave the ball to Gurley 25 times. And this is against an awesome Bears, you know, defensive line too. But they gave it to him for 25 times. He had almost 100 yards. He had the touchdown. He had some receiving work. I mean, this was the Todd Gurley game that we saw pretty much every single week for the past 2 years. And we have not seen it. You know, I said on a lot of people with the way that Todd Gurley has not been used and going up against the Bears, a lot of people were probably considering even sitting him because they, you know, they didn't think he was going to do anything. And on our last podcast, I said, don't be that guy that sits Todd Gurley when he goes off. And this was his, you know, this was his game. It's getting towards the end of the year. This is the Rams' time to make that playoff push. They're in an awesome division, in my opinion, by far the best division in the league. And they're going to need to rely heavily on Todd Gurley to, you know, to get them there. And Goff needs to play better. Third, I went with Andrews. Didn't really talk too much about him. I had him super high on my ranks, and I just thought that I love the consistency that he has with Lamar. And Lamar has been playing out of his mind lately, and he played out of his mind again. The dude is, it's so back and forth between him. And, I mean, you can't even take McCaffrey out of the equation for MVP, but I mean, I think right now it's just super back and forth between him and Russell Wilson. But he really, I think with his, if he cracks 1,000 yards this year and, you know, consistently puts up the passing numbers that he's doing, he's not blowing the roof off, but if he consistently puts up the passing numbers he's doing too, I don't see, I mean, and Baltimore's playing at the way they're playing, they're probably going to finish with 13 wins. I don't see how you don't give this guy the MVP this year. I mean, he's well deserving of it. And Andrews, he had a great game, 4 for 75 and a touchdown. You know, it's really all you can really ask for out of your tight end. So those are my three guys.
All right, Steve, why don't you get into your three? Let me just say before you get into your three, watching this game, that field looks terrible right
it
now.
It did the last couple
players
years.
Are just so slipping bad. All over the place.
They spent a lot of time. They were during the pregame. They were talking about how much time they were spending on it because everyone complained the last couple of years of how awful it was. And I don't think it looks any better than it's looked.
Last year, they canceled the game.
Oh, they did. That's 2 years ago. 2 years ago, it was bad. And then last year, they canceled because it was so bad.
Yeah.
So I don't. They need to
stop going to that stadium.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, either fix it or just stop going there because you're going to get players hurt. Anyway. So my good calls of the week are Derek Carr. I had Derek Carr as my, what the hell did I have him as?
I had him as my starting quarterback.
I had him at quarterback. Let me see here. 10. Yeah. And he was awesome yesterday. You know what I mean? He gets you the rushing touchdown, the passing touchdown, over 290 yards. passing on the day. So, you know, if you started him, you know, we told you he's not going to kill you. If you pick him up and play him these, you know, next couple of weeks, he has some good matchups, and he showed that he had a good matchup yesterday. My second guy is Marlon Mack. You know, Marlon Mack, without that, we talked about the hand injury. If he doesn't have the hand injury, I had him as my running back 10 on the week. If he doesn't have that hand injury, he would have been great. He would have been, we said it, he probably would have had 200 yards rushing. You know what I mean? So he ended up having a really good game. And DJ Chark was my other one. You know, DJ Chark, I just didn't think, you know, a lot of people asked me about a lot of questions on the Fantasy Life app about DJ Chark. You know, he was in a lot of the questions. I want to say he was in at least five of the, you know, 100 questions you guys asked. And I told you to start him with confidence. I was very confident that DJ Chark would be very good. You know,
Nick Foles looked good too. Foles looked good.
Yes, he did. And if you remember week one, you know, he was 2 for 2 for 40 yards and a touchdown. You know what I mean? Nick Foles is clearly looking for him. And Nick Foles didn't finish out the first half of that game. I don't even think he finished two drives. He was in two drives of that game before he got hurt. So, you know, D.D. Westbrook didn't get a touch in that game or a target in that game with Nick Foles. So I didn't think that D.D. was the guy. I just thought that Chark is the number one guy there, and he's going to continue to be the number one guy there. And I was proven right this weekend. So, you know, I'm starting D.J. Chark, you know, every single week. He's a high-end wide receiver too, and in a good matchup, he's a wide receiver one.
All right. So let's get into the dumpster diver wrong calls of the week.
I say they're wrong because
they were wrong.
And were they wrong?
Are they wrong?
I think they're wrong 100%.
Sometimes they're wrong.
They were wrong.
Sometimes they're wrong.
It's the New York Times. They're always wrong.
Well, I would say my wife tells me I'm wrong all the time.
All right, so Steve, why don't you start it off with your bad calls of the week?
All right, so my bad calls of the week, man, it this is actually a pretty rough week for me. But Deshaun Watson, I had him as my number 4 quarterback of the week, and you know, I don't know if too many other fantasy analysts. I don't really look at anybody else's ranks because I want to be unbiased by my rankings. So I don't know where people had Deshaun Watson. I find it hard to believe that people had him out of the top five. You know, maybe with the matchup, people were worried, but I thought he was going to be good. You know what I mean? I thought he was going to be good. So I don't know what everybody else's ranks were. I do know that in my ranks, he was number 4, and he did not play like the number 4 quarterback of the week. It was brutal. He literally had either defender on his back, or somebody jumping at his legs the entire game. I don't think he actually stood back there for more than 4 seconds at any point in that game yesterday. He was just getting rushed like a maniac, and you know, it is what it is. My second bad call of the week was Josh Jacobs. I had Josh Jacobs as the number 3 running back on the week, and honestly, he was running good yesterday. He just didn't get in the end zone. You know what I mean? The Bengals decided they were not allowing him to score. And, you know, so that, I don't know what the hell happened, but they were not beat for him scoring any touchdowns yesterday. So, you know, my bad on Josh Jacobs. And my last bad call of the week was Kenny Golladay. You know, to me, it doesn't matter to me. Kenny Golladay, to me, you saw it on that 44-yard catch he had yesterday. The dude is amazing.
Just throw it up to him.
The dude is amazing. Like, he is really, really good. He's proven it this year that he is a number one wide receiver, and he should be drafted that way next year. He's that good. And, you know, Driscoll was just like, I'm not throwing you the ball, dog, like all game. And then in the fourth quarter when they're, you know, need a touchdown, they start throwing him deep. I was actually pissed off that he got that 40. You know what I mean? Like, I would have rather just had the 0. Because that 44-yard catch, all that proved to me is that if they had thrown that ball to him a couple of times in that game, he probably has 80 to 100 yards and a touchdown with no problem. And he just wasn't given that opportunity. So, you know, it's ridiculous. But, you know, my bad on Kenny Golladay. And if he's bad again next week because there is no Matt Stafford, I'm going to have him in my top 12 again, guys. He's just that talented. I'm not keeping him out of wide receiver one because that's what he is.
All right. So, Dan, you can go next. But first, where the heck did LeSean McCoy come from to get rushing touchdowns nowadays? Anyway, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, from the inactive list to scoring their first touchdown of the game.
And, God, and being a Damian, start scoring.
And being a Damian Williams owner, I'm very disgusted by it. But anyway, moving on to the moving on to the guys that kind of, you know, Larry Fitzgerald didn't have a huge game. I kind of have my first call is the Kyler Murray Fitzgerald combination, because I kind of, you know, I said absolutely do not play Fitzgerald, and he didn't have a monster game. So but he did get you in the end zone. And, you know, we got you 5 for 37 and a touchdown, which in PPR is pretty much right around 15 points. I don't think anybody was really, you know, looking for Larry Fitzgerald to be a starter against the San Francisco defense, but he would have been a really good daily option, because he's, I'm sure, he was super cheap. So I said stay away from him. And, you know, he would have been cheap and got you the touchdown and some yards. So that was crappy. My debate was Kyler Murray. I went back to bed, you know, 2 weeks ago. I picked up Derek Carr because I didn't like the San Francisco defense, and you know, just figured they were going to eat up the rookie. And Kyler had a good game 2 weeks ago against him, outperformed Carr, not by much, but a little bit. So this week, being in San Fran, I wanted to go with Carr again. And, you know, Steve picked Carr, and he did have a decent week, but Murray had an excellent week. Murray, just like Fitzgerald, he didn't have a lot of yards, but he had, you know, two passing touchdowns, and he had an awesome rushing game. He had 67 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, in our league, he was one of the top quarterback performers. And I went with Carr, so I'm not completely disappointed with my pick. I stuck with it, and it didn't kill me big time. But, you know, anyone that listened that knows that I've had Kyler Murray, and I've been talking about him pretty much, you know, not every week, but consistently, you know, keeping up on the rookie. It's just a hard call to make against San Fran, but this kid is legit. So Kyler Murray owners, he's got some better games ahead of him. Do not sit this kid. This Arizona team, they're not winning games, but they're not losing by much. They're very competitive. It looks like they're clicking really well right now. It's a new system. It's a new coach. It's a new quarterback. They don't, you know, when Christian Kirk's in there, he's awesome. He had 6 for 41, so he was really stopped. They didn't get a lot in the air, but I think moving forward in like future years, they're gonna build around Kyler, and they're gonna be a team. Kyler's gonna be a huge, huge fantasy quarterback for many years to come. So, you know, keep a lookout on him. And I had Fournette is my running back. Everyone knows I've been toting Fournette all year. Had him high on my ranks again, and he put up a pooper. Colts defense is good, but this guy really performs against anybody. He's an every week starter, and he went 8 for 23. He had a good receiving day, but only 34 receiving yards too. So, I mean, if you don't have PPR, you got half point PPR. He didn't put up anywhere close to Leonard Fournette numbers. So yeah, Leonard Fournette, was an off game for him. I mean, he's normally teetering around that 100-yard mark. One thing about Fournette is that the thing that's killing him from being a absolute top five fantasy player right now is his lack of touchdowns. Just not getting in the end zone at all really this year. His yards are going to be amongst the top, you know, top 10 probably, but they got to find a way he's a bulldozer. They got to find a way to get him in the end zone for, you know, fantasy relevance for owners. And then third guy is Amari Cooper. And I think Cooper more so with his game was because of the early injury, but you know, they didn't sideline him. He didn't even go back. You know, from what I read, he was the reason they wanted to keep him out there, even though that he wasn't going to be productive, was to be a decoy. And it worked because, you know, Dak threw for over 400 yards and Cooper only had 30 some of them. And if you take away those yards and Dak's yards, Dak still had 400 yards to his other receivers. Gallup had a huge day. Cobb had a huge day. So, 9 out of 10 weeks, Cooper's going to be the number one receiving guy out there. But, you know, I think the early injury may have bit him there. But, you know, it's good that they kept him out there and, you know, they got the big win. That game was it wasn't really back and forth, but it was trending toward a shootout. It was definitely a high scoring game. We know how bad that Detroit defense is, but that Cowboys defense showed good spots in the early season, and then their defense is tailing off. But it was a good bounce back game for Zeke. I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen as well. But You know, Cooper, hopefully, better weeks ahead for him.
Real quick, y'all. Phillip Rivers might be the worst lead blocker in the history of football. But no, that was funny. Did you guys just see that play? That was crazy.
Might be behind you. Maybe a little behind you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't think so. You talking about the Melvin Gordon end around?
They gave Eckler a little sweet play.
See it now.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I'm on it right now.
Oh my God! Yeah,
that's the worst lead block in the history of football. He wasn't trying to block. I mean, he's a quarterback. He's not trying to get killed out there. But
I mean, if he puts it, if he, all he has to do is get in his way, and Eckler can cut outside.
That was terrible.
All right, so I'm going to get into my bad calls, terrible calls of the week. Quarterback Tom Brady. I said Brady was going to have a good game against his Philly secondary. And honestly, I think the Patriots' offense is very suspect.
They're very suspect.
Their run game was non-existent. If you double-team Julian Edelman, his targets are weak. Rat. You know, N'Keal Harry didn't jump off the page at all in his first game. Philip Dorsett catches a touchdown, but he catches a touchdown from Julian Edelman on a trick play. Brady only gets 216 yards in this game. He winds up getting you 8.5 fantasy points in a game they won. That is not good for Tom Brady owners going forward because, you know, the Eagles kind of put a little blueprint on how to shut this team down. Like, I mean, you double team Edelman. Edelman, I think in the game had 4 catches. You know, if he doesn't throw that touchdown, his game was terrible.
I think Brady's third single digit fantasy performance this year. That is not Brady like. That's not Patriots like. I mean, it's just. Yeah, you're right. That offense.
47 passes. It's not like he threw 30 passes. No. He threw 47 passes.
And had single digits.
Like, had single digit fantasy points.
Dude, I feel like other than Edelman, I feel like his biggest target was Ben Watson. Like, they're just like, they're hurting for pass catchers out there. I don't know why you get rid of Josh Gordon. I don't know why you get rid of Josh Gordon. I understand maybe he had a little bit of a work. You know, they said he had a bad work ethic. I don't know, man. He seemed like he's okay when he's out there, much better than what they were throwing out, you know, before this. So, you know, it is what it is. Brady just had a terrible game, and I honestly expect more of these kind of games going forward from Brady. I will not be having him this high in my rankings too often going forward.
Yeah, they got some running going up.
Yeah. And honestly, some of his better games might have just been his matchups. Yeah. You know, the beginning of the season, remember, they played a bunch of terrible teams.
Yep.
Running back Brian Hill. You know, everybody was high on the Brian Hill bandwagon with, you know, a good matchup against Carolina. And in this game, in a matchup where he should have gotten a ton of carries, gotten good workload, like, they were up from the jump of this game. Like, they were pretty much winning the whole game. They were up double digits the whole game.
Yeah.
And Brian Hill.
Panthers scored 3. They scored a touchdown on the first drive. They literally had the lead since the very beginning of the game.
Yes. And Brian Hill gets 15 carries for 30 yards, 1 catch for 8 yards, and has 4.8 fantasy points. Man. Forgot, like, I mean, I think all I know me and Steve did. I don't know about you, Danbo. I know we had him in our top 20 in our ranks.
Yeah, I think he was like right around 20 for me.
16.
Yeah.
I think everybody, we talked about him in the DFS podcast about how he was one of the almost a chalk play. Well, guess what? If he was a chalk play, a lot of teams got hit hard on that because.
Oh, yeah, he was 50. I think he was 51% owned in the Millionaire Maker.
Yeah, and that's, I mean.
That literally eliminated half the field.
Because a guy like that, I mean, he's giving you 4.8 fantasy points. You needed more from a guy, even though he literally got you, like, 1X in DFS, which is terrible.
Yeah, he screwed you.
Yeah,
Yeah. Scooch bad.
And, yeah. And my wide receiver is Cooper Kupp. I'm not blaming Cooper Kupp because it was like, I think halfway through the third quarter when we text each other and said, dude, Jared Goff is 7 of 9. Like, yeah, he had 9 passes halfway through the third quarter.
Okay.
I don't even think he, like, I mean.
He's droppable. He's droppable.
He is 100% droppable.
He's not. I mean, I wouldn't drop him just because 2 weeks from now they get Arizona. So I would hold on to him for that matchup.
I have no faith. If you watch that game and didn't think to yourself, McVay has completely given up on this dude, you are watching a completely different football, you know, game than I am. Because honestly,
they just handed to Todd Gurley.
Yep, that's all
Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley. Okay, Malcolm Brown. All right, Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley.
There was like three third downs where there was like third in distance that they didn't even try. They were just like, here, Todd.
I mean, dude, the best pass he made all game gets called back on a ridiculous, like, I don't even think a ridiculous illegal formation.
Yeah, illegal formation.
I don't even know how it was illegal formation. I was looking at it. I'm like, is Cooper Kupp? Cooper Kupp looks like he's on the line, but yeah. I mean, hey, but he threw, that was actually a money shot pass, and too bad it didn't count.
Reynolds. Oh, I forgot to bring it up. Go ahead, finish what you're gonna say.
A lot of people started Josh Reynolds after.
Oh yeah.
You know, Robert Woods went down, and that play would have been huge, but you know, Cooper Kupp in this game, he only got 3 targets, which is just a sad in itself. This guy was getting double-digit targets every game earlier this season. He only gets 3 balls for 53 yards, 8.3 fantasy points for a guy that, you know, is basically a number one wide receiver. We were literally talking about, you know, this guy, Cooper Kupp, straight up for Alvin Kamara 2 weeks ago. Remember, weren't we talking about that, Steve?
Yeah.
Like, 2 weeks ago, we were saying, yeah, Alvin Kamara, you could probably get him straight up for Cooper Kupp with how Cooper Kupp is right now. And if you did that, oh, my God, are you excited.
Yeah, you are, like, happiest person ever.
Oh, man. So,
Williams just got cracked.
He's
laying on the field.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, he's laying on the field. He's hurt. He's out. He's done. Yeah, so if you're relying on Damian Williams, that's over. So real all quick, right. What I wanted to bring up real quick, I completely forgot about this. I was going to use.
He didn't get cracked. I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened. It looked like he had a heart attack.
He was like seizuring on the field.
Yeah. All right, so I told a couple of people to start Terry McLaurin on the Fantasy Life app. I know most of you guys don't even watch the games. I know most of you guys just look at your fantasy scores or watch Red Zone or whatever. But Terry McLaurin, I don't care what anybody says. I don't want to hear anybody say anything bad to me about me telling him to start Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin had 130 yards receiving. If they didn't call back a 67-yard pass that he caught for a bullshit holding call. That was such bullshit.
And Dwayne Haskins absolutely launched that ball.
Yes, he did. He caught it like 55 yards down the field, dude.
That was a bomb of a throw. I got to give Haskins that. He aired that ball out.
Yes, he did.
He was going after his lineman. Did you see any of that news about him on the sidelines going? He was telling him, like, he's like, what do I have to do to make you guys play better? Tell me what I have to do to play better. Tell me what you need to do to play better. And then they were like, some guys were talking to him. He's like, boop, F that. No, F that. What do I have to do to play better? What do you need to do to play better? It was good to see some fire in him. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, anybody that had Terry McLaurin and listened to me to start him, guess what? He should have had 130 yards receiving, and you would have been very happy with that. But, you know, like I said, bullshit holding call, 67-yard, you know, 67-yard pass erased from that game. But, yes, Terry McLaurin did, you know, he got you 69, so he didn't kill you, but, you know, he didn't really help you all that much either. If he had 130, you know, you would have been much happier with that.
For sure. All right, so let's get into the waiver wire, shall we? Start off with the quarterbacks. we don't have to touch on this too much. We've talked about this guy. I talked about him earlier. And we've kind of talked about his matchups going forward, but it's Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold at this point is still only owned in 12.4% of ESPN leagues. I mean, that's just ridiculous. For a guy that has these matchups, like, I don't
know. A lot of people are just not paying attention. So this is, I mean, if you got playoff aspirations and you're still, you know, into it, you know, all week long, yeah, you're going to be able to get some good waiver wire guys, and I definitely love picking up Sam Darnold for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if you need a quarterback, this is a guy that you needs to be owned. He just need. I mean, it's at this point, it's a must because his next three matchups are gold. Another quarterback, which I just think is this week, probably this week start, is Jeff Driskel. He got the Cowboys yesterday. He actually, you know, didn't have a terrible game against the Cowboys.
He had three touchdowns.
Yeah, you know, wound up having three touchdowns in the game. Goes for, he had two touchdowns. They have one rushing, two.
Yeah, he had a rushing touchdown.
For 51 and a rushing touchdown, gets 209 and two touchdowns passing, 27 fantasy points. Next week, he gets Washington, who Sam Darnold just torched through the air. What do you guys think about Jeff Driskel for a week, you know, a bye week fill in next week and possibly going forward? Going forward, he has Chicago, Minnesota, so you're not.
No.
And who knows when Stafford's coming back? But next week,
I'm not paying a lot of money for him. I mean, I don't think a lot of people are going to really spend fab on him. If you're really in desperate need, maybe pick him up, last minute before the game and just do a 1 week for him. But it's a shame that Stafford doesn't get to play against Redskins, because Stafford would really light up the Redskins.
Yeah, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I mean, Jeff Driskel, he ends up getting you that rushing touchdown, the two passing touchdowns, but at no point in that game did I watch him and go, man, that's a good quarterback. And
they were down by a good bit there, I think like 17, and he was throwing a lot, and it ended up being close to a shootout. So I mean, his points added up because of that.
Yeah, especially because Nick Foles is the next guy we're gonna talk about, and I'd much rather have Nick.
Oh, for sure. I think Nick Foles is probably higher on everybody's list than Driskel is at this point. So how do you guys feel about Nick Foles? Nick Foles almost a definite ad. I mean, it's kind of crazy because I feel like quarterback is not deep this year. No. I feel like usually we say, don't worry about going to get those, top guys, because you can get this guy here. Like, you drafted Wentz in the 8th round, you drafted Goff in the 9th round. Jameis Winston was like a 10th round pick, and he's been pretty good, but he's scary as hell with all the turnovers that he's putting out there. Unless you got Lamar Jackson, you needed one of those top, guys this year. And even Mahomes, Mahomes is, he doesn't look too good tonight, and, he was hurt for a few weeks. So, quarterback is just not as deep as we thought it was going to be. So, how do you guys feel about Nick Foles going forward?
Well, this week he has Tennessee. I do think he could have a good game against Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee, they've had some games where they're letting up some points. And I think Nick showed enough last week that I feel confident that he can do some, do some things against Tennessee. But then after that, he's got Tampa Bay, the Chargers, Oakland, and Atlanta. I am 100% picking up Nick Foles.
Yeah, he closes it out good. Tennessee, though, that game's got the makings of like 13-10 written all over it.
Yeah, well, it was a low-scoring game last time. But you know what? Gardner Minshew, if you remember, I think he had like 202 touchdowns in that game, and they won. I mean, Jacksonville beat Tennessee that game. So, I think Nick Foles, don't get me wrong, I think Gardner Minshew had a really good – he was playing very well for a rookie quarterback coming in, to the league. But I just think Nick Foles looked you know, even in on that one touchdown pass that he threw to DJ Chark, where DJ Chark was coming across, you know, the very first touchdown.
Yeah,
dude, like there was literally a defender getting ready to kill his ass, and he just stood there with poise, threw a laser beam. Yeah, like
he always has. He's not afraid to take the big hit.
No, and he took a walloping on that one.
Yeah. Now his runs in Philly the same way. I mean, that dude just. He stands in the pocket and he will eat it. He just there's no shaking him. That's the one thing about. I mean, he's very accurate. He throws a nice ball. He doesn't make mistakes. I mean, he's not a superstar quarterback, but he's definitely not a bad option. He's got a safe floor. We'll put it that way. I think Nick Foles. You know, if you're a guy that does, you know, you're not going to get Lamar Jackson numbers out of him. But if your team's built really well, and you want a guy that's safe, I think Foles is a good option.
Yeah.
So are we going Darnold, Foles, Driscoll in that order? Or would you say Foles number one, Darnold number two?
I think Darnold's rest of schedule is just too awesome. So I put Darnold ahead of Foles by a little bit.
Yeah. See, Oakland, Cincinnati, Miami, but then Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, for next week, I definitely want Darnold. You know what I mean? Yeah. But for every week after that, I think I might want Foles. So if you need a guy for next week, let's say you have bye weeks, you have Patrick Mahomes because he's on a bye week next week, and you need somebody, I would pick up Sam Darnold. But if you need somebody because your quarterback has been playing terrible, like Jared Goff, I would pick up, you know, Nick Foles.
All right. So let's get into some of these running backs. It is a heavy running back waiver wire this week.
Let's
start with the Colts situation. You know, you heard what Frank Reich said. It's going to be a lot of Jonathan Williams, a combination of Jonathan Williams and Jordan Wilkins, mixed with Nyheim Hines probably getting a lot more of the passing work. I think it's almost a given that Jonathan Williams is going to be the most added guy, probably. He might be the most added guy, him or Bo Scarborough. But, you know, do you think Jordan Wilkins cuts into any of his workload enough to where he becomes not really relevant fantasy-wise?
See, this is the thing. I mean, Williams looked really good the other day.
He did.
He looked really good. I mean, and I think...
But the thing is, I actually thought Jordan Wilkins looked good earlier in the season as well.
Yeah.
Like, when Jordan Wilkins got a little bit of burn and see... A lot of times I feel like that happens with these backup running backs is they get a little bit of, you know, they come in fresh in the middle of a game. And, you know, we saw with Brian Hill, you know, he comes in fresh in the middle of a game, has a good game, and then comes out in, you know, as a starter and, you know, kind of shits the bed. So those are always going to be things you're going to have to worry about. You know, what do you think the split is between these three backs?
I mean, Nyheim Hines, I think, keeps the same role. I mean, he's been the scat back.
His role doesn't change.
Yeah, his role doesn't change. So, you know, Nyheim Hines, I would still, you know, play him the way I would play him. If you need him as a flex, you know, in a tough spot, whatever. But, you know, for the other two, I think Williams just looked too good to not get a little bit more work. You know, I think Wilkins.
70-30?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that even that much. I think it'll probably be like, you know, 55-45. And then see who has the hot hand. Yeah, that's not good.
I was going to say, that's not good for Jonathan. Like, people are going to be going after Jonathan Williams heavy. Yeah. And if we're talking 55-45,
without the passing work. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think
that's the thing. I don't – because Marlon Mack is that good that I think that, you know, he was their back. Without him, I don't think they're going to have a guy. They're going to have – you know, they're going to split between the two guys and whoever has the hot hand. So it might be, you know, this guy gets the first series, this guy gets the second series, and then they continue it that way. Or one of those guys takes the reins and, you know, and is the guy. You know what I mean? With a broken hand, Marlon Mack, you know, and the bad thing with Marlon Mack is it's a broken hand on his carrying hand. So, you know, if it was on the other hand, then, you know, he might be able to come back in a week. You know what I mean? Just – get it box, you know, whatever that cast, that huge mutton, you know, ridiculous looking cast they put on.
That's anti fundamental football, Steve. You got to be able to carry the ball with both hands, Steve.
Well, you know, what's his name? Tiki.
Tiki was bad,
bro. One handed, bro.
Until he put that little rubber thing on his elbow,
fumbling monster. But yeah, no, but for real, I think it's definitely going to be a split. And if you are going to spend all of your fab on Jonathan Williams and Jordan Wilkins comes back and takes the 50-60% of the carries, you're going to be really pissed off. You are going to be so mad. So
it's kind of like whatever.
Kind of like Ty Johnson.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say. Everybody blew their money on Ty Johnson, and he's non-existent.
Yeah. And you know what? This is the thing. I think for 1 yard,
at one point in the game.
I think people are going to blow their fab on those guys, and I think the better pickup is Bo Scarborough.
I was going to say Bo Scarborough. We might as well get into him too.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you. I think he was the better pick. You know, this was a guy that was on practice squads. He was drafted by the Cowboys. You know, nobody heard that this dude even got signed to the active roster.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, that would have been news, but just because Bo Scarborough is an Alabama running back, and you would have been saying, "Oh, wait, Bo Scarborough gets added." Like, he would have been added in fantasy leagues if that, you know, hit the fantasy way, like the fantasy news wire.
Yeah, it hit on Saturday. They did say that they moved him to the active roster, but they didn't say he was going to get any play.
Okay.
Yeah, they moved him to the active roster. I seen it, but they didn't say he was going, you know. I thought it was just because, you know, I think everybody thought it was just because, you know, they wanted to have another body back there. And he literally took off. They were like, "Here you go, bro."
Yeah.
from first carry, they were like, "Here's your guy. This is your backfield, bro."
It's a whole game.
And if you look at his matchups, he's got Washington at home. I mean, at Washington. Then he plays Chicago at home. Chicago hasn't been a good run defense. You know, Minnesota, that's a tough game. But then he's got Tampa Bay and Denver. Neither one of those teams Tampa Bay has been stopping the run. But, you know, Denver's been bad all year, basically.
And they're going to – yeah, you can't pass on Denver, so.
Exactly. So, you know, I think Scarborough might be the guy you want.
I 100% agree with you. I was going to say, I think if you're going after one of these guys, Bo Scarborough is the one you want. Next up is Darius Geis, also at 45.8%. How do you guys feel about adding Darius Geis? In this game, he got 7 carries for 24 yards, did get a 45-yard catch for a touchdown. You know, how do you guys feel about adding Geis?
I love Darius Geis. See, this is a biased opinion. Okay. This is a biased opinion. I liked, you know what I mean? I've liked Darius Geis since LSU. Like, I love this dude. I think he reminds me a lot of Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he is just tough as hell to bring down. He will run you over. Like, I love his style. And you know what? He's elusive, too. He doesn't just go down. He's not always just, "I'm going to bowl you over." He's not like Leonard Fournette, where he's just, you know, "Me run straight, run you over like a train." He will put some moves on you and get around you. I just love the way the kid plays. So, for me, you know, I want guys on my team. You know what I mean? Like, Bo Scarborough is probably the better pickup because I don't think they're just going to get completely away from AP. You know, I think the team, they love AP there. I mean, you've heard many players, you know, talk about AP in a very shining light. They like AP a lot.
They were pissed. A lot of their linemen and veteran players were pissed in week 1 when he was inactive for Darius.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, you gotta think, you know, Chris Thompson's got to be close to coming back. I mean,
yeah,
they talked about him last week about probably coming back. So, you know, this week is probably more likely. I don't know how much of a role he plays. Remember, he was one of the Gruden's guys. He was, you know, emotional, crying in the locker room when Gruden got fired. So I don't know how much he factors in with this new offense that wants to run a lot more than it does pass. But, you know, I could see them kind of, you know, giving Geis a little bit more of the receiving work. They kind of talked about his pass blocking and stuff like that. But still, I think I am in agreement. I think Bo Scarborough is going to get more, is probably the better pickup. If you had to rank these guys in order of, you know, pickup, Geis, the Colts guys, and Scarborough, how would you rank them?
For me, it'd be Scarborough, Geis, Williams, Wilkins.
Scarborough, Geis, Williams, Wilkins. That's pretty much how I feel.
Yeah, I'm right with you guys. You know, haven't chimed in a whole lot because you guys have been pretty much given the good details. But, yeah, I'm I'm more so. I'm a big Chris Thompson fan. I think he's too good to keep off the field for long periods of time. You know, on the third downs, he is an extremely talented, you know, almost James White, Eckler type, you know, receiving back. And, you know, Geis is a great back all around, but Thompson's just, you know, when he comes back, he's going to take a lot of that workload away. And we already know Adrian Peterson's going to still get his carry. So, you know, right now in Detroit, you know, well, in Washington, they have guys that are producing. And in Detroit, they're trying to find that guy. And all it's going to take is like one good game from Bo Scarborough to really take the lead on that one. And then
he had that good game.
he had a good game. Yeah. So, you know, I think they're going to find what they have in him right now, you know, because obviously, you know, Johnson's not coming back. Kerryon's not coming back. So they're going to see what they have in him and ride him out. So I agree with how you guys ranked him as well.
All right, real quick before we get into the wide receivers and tight ends, I want to know how you guys felt about Ronald Jones, because I actually listened to a couple different podcasts, guys. I listened to the CBS guys, and I listened to Chris Harris every once in a blue moon I'll listen to, and I'm trying to think who else I listened to. I listen to the fantasy footballers every once in a while. So I remember the CBS guy saying last week that Jones was almost a must start. How did you guys feel about Jones after that?
I mean, all right. So Ronald Jones obviously did not have a good game in this game. I think the problem was they literally just said, all right, we're going to throw the ball with Jameis. And if you look at it, like at the beginning of the game, like, you know, Breeze scored first. Then I think Jameis threw a pick, and then they scored again. And it was almost 14-0 quick. Or 10-0 quick. It was something. They kicked the field goal first, and then they scored a touchdown after that, after the Jameis pick. After the Jameis pick. I just think that they didn't run the ball that much. I mean, four carries for Ronald Jones is not a lot. But, you know, I mean.
Bro, they ran the ball. They ran the ball 8 times all game.
All game?
Yeah. Jameis had
2 for 23. And then Dario Gumbawale had a 2 for 0. And Ronald Jones was 4 for 13. So, pretty terrible. Like, and you know what? Who said this? I heard it today. But anyway, Bruce Arians. Last week, right? Me and you toted O.J. Howard, right?
Yes.
So Bruce Arians came out after that game and said, we obviously knew that, you know, the Cardinals have trouble stopping the tight end. I wonder if they thought to themselves, you know what? The Saints have been really good against the run this week. We're not running the ball. You know what I mean? Because that's what it seemed like.
At all.
Like, they didn't even try. They were just like, nah, we're not even going to try.
And if you got to tell Jameis before the game, Jameis, I need you to go out there and throw 50 times. He'll probably smile and say, no problem.
He'll be like, yeah, I mean, four of them are probably going to be picks. but I'll throw for 402 touchdowns.
I got you, coach. I got you.
Yeah. So
I'm going to throw four picks, but don't worry about those.
Yeah. The four picks, don't even worry about them. So let's get into the, you know, the receivers. Let's start it off with Debo. Obviously, Emmanuel Sanders just was kind of a shell of himself in this game. You could tell he was kind of laboring. Debo catches 8 for 134. Dude.
Beast.
Debo Samuel looks good. He looks good. He actually looks like a guy that has a ton of confidence right now. Yes. Like, he looks like, all right, I found out how to play in the NFL.
Yep.
Because his last two games have just been outstanding. He looks like he got his confidence, kind of got his swag about him from, you know, after the NFL kind of beat you down as a rookie.
You are not lying. So we do player profiles, guys, on the website, right? So I am going to read you what I wrote about Debo Samuel. So in the player profile for Debo, another rookie I really like, He is really, truly has a chance to be the number one receiver for the 49ers. He can just do everything you want a receiver to do. Great hands, breakaway speed, hard to tackle, and shifty. I believe this is a steal of a pick at the end of your draft. No risk at all. No risk, all reward. Trust the process. His ADP is in round 15. If you guys listened to what we had to say, there's countless guys on here on these profiles that if you read them, you will see that we were like, yo, take this guy at this round. You're going to love him, blah, 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 blah. There's plenty of guys here, and Debo was one of the guys we all really liked. You know, we all watched him in college. We all thought he was really good. And if you listened, you are super happy about having Debo on your team right now. This dude, you know, we talk about league winner running backs. Debo could be a league winning wide receiver. He is that damn good.
With the coming on strong for playoff time, that's for sure. So, I mean, you probably, I don't know, a lot of people dropped him, but maybe, you know, maybe you sandbagged him and you just waited for a breakout game. You know, I'm not sure. Well, you know, Ross, it's tough during the year because you got to make a lot of tough moves on your team to benefit it. But yeah, I think like Kev said, I think he's got his confidence, and I think he's gonna end the year really well, just consistently putting up those kind of numbers, those 7, 8, 9 catch games, you know, 100 and punching in for a TD. I mean, San Francisco's an awesome team, so they're gonna, you know, he's gonna be absolutely you know, noticed.
All right, yeah. So you're gonna want to add Debo Samuel. The next guy I bring up, we're not even gonna talk about him, because we've been telling you for 3 freaking weeks now to pick him up. Devontae Parker, 7 for 135.
Yep.
I don't think we need to talk about him anymore.
44.7% owned. Like, I don't understand.
Dude, what are people? But it's just that I think that's a Dolphins thing.
Guys, I gotta break it, and I got to pick up the Dolphin. I know I've been saying it for like 4 weeks. I'm not doing it.
He's shredding up his contract.
Every time he's out there, he's like, Dan, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what I can do because you don't want to take a Dolphin.
For real.
Yeah. For I mean, we don't need to talk about him anymore. We've been telling you guys for 3 weeks that he needs to be picked up. Randall Cobb is up next. Randall Cobb in his last 2 games, 6 for 106 in a touchdown. Yesterday, he was 4 for 115 in a touchdown. Dak obviously looks really good right now. They go in this week, they go into Foxborough, and then they get Buffalo and Chicago,
which are tough.
3 really tough matchups. And then the Rams. So 4 really tough matchups right in a row. I don't know if I'm picking up Randall Cobb.
Well, no, we can't do it.
We've seen with Dallas. Dallas is 2 different Cowboy teams. They are the team that plays crappy teams, and they just pound on them and pound on them, and everybody looks like superstars. And then there's a team that plays good teams, and they look like, you know, not even the best team in the division. You know, it's just they're two totally different teams, and they have a rough schedule coming up. So, you know, if you're an owner of Cooper and Dak, it's, you know, don't be surprised if they have bad performances. And yeah, I'm not picking up Cobb because I think his production was definitely because, well, he did it against Miami or against Minnesota, but he's got some really awesome secondaries to, you know, to fight against.
Yep, I agree.
Yep. All right, so next up is Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Chris Conley, 6 for 58 yesterday. You know, Nick Foles looked like he was spreading the ball around a little bit more. DD got some love out there. Obviously, DJ Chark had a big game. I don't think I'm going after Chris Conley, honestly. I just think that, you're never going to feel comfortable starting this guy. If you ever look at your lineup and say, I'm starting Chris Conley, you're probably out of the playoffs or not going to make the playoffs if that's, you know, the direction you're heading. So, you know, out of these guys, I'm probably not, you know, definitely I would pick up Cobb before I picked up Conley, even with the matchups. Let's get into the tight ends. There's 3 tight ends on this list. Kyle Rudolph, Jacob Hollister, and Noah Fant. I think they all need to be owned.
Yeah.
I think every one of them needs to be owned. Noah Fant yesterday saw 11 targets. He obviously, like, they obviously came out of the bye and said, you know what, we got to get Noah Fant more involved. This is a rookie we took in the first round. We got to start using him as, you know, a guy who, you know, when you draft a tight end in the first round, he should be a game breaker. He should be a guy that's literally, you know, jumping off the screen and, you know, a guy that you should feel comfortable throwing the ball to. And all season, he really has been limited. This week, they get him 11 targets. They handed the ball off to him twice. You know, I just think that that's going to increase. So Noah Fant should definitely be picked up, for especially considering the tight end waiver wires. Jacob Hollister is another one with the way Russell Wilson just has used him. Like, he's scoring touchdowns every week. You know, this week they were on a bye, so obviously he wasn't one of the, you know, big pickups just because he was on a bye week. But this week, I think Jacob Hollister definitely needs to be picked up. And Kyle Rudolph, once again, gets into the end zone, 5 for 67. Last week, he obviously had that 2-touchdown performance. If you're looking for, you know, tight ends, this guy scored in the last 3 weeks. So I think all three of these tight ends need to be owned.
Yeah, I like Hollister, though. I mean, we saw what Wilson did at the beginning of the year before, you know, his tight end went down. Disley went down. I mean, we didn't even know who Disley was, and he was, you know, a top five tight end for the first half of the season. And now this kid Hollister just jumps right into the role that Disley was in. And I mean, I think it's a combination. You know, some of these kids might be gems that are, you know, that were hiding, but I think 60-70% of it is just Russell Wilson having a absolute MVP season, and he makes plays, he extends plays, pinpoint accuracy. I mean, to be any receiver on the Seahawks, you know, I think even Josh Gordon, once he learns the system, might even be relevant, because Seahawks are looking awesome right now, and I really like the way that kid Hollister looked. So for me, I would go Hollister. I might even go Noah Fant as my number two, just because he's young and I think he's got a lot of upside. And, you know, I've seen Rudolph has had a good stretch here. I mean, a really good stretch, but, you know, 90% of the time, you know what you're going to get out of Rudolph. You're not going to get those big TD type weeks that he's put up recently. So I think he comes a little bit more back down to earth. So I like the other two guys, cause I think they have more upside.
Yeah. For me, there's one more guy that we didn't mention, and he's actually on his own team. Dallas Goedert, to me, is a tight end that must be owned. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, Dallas Goedert, since week six, his lowest scoring fantasy, put out game was 7.9 against Chicago. He had 4 for 39, but in every other game, 5 for 48, 4 for 69 and a touchdown, 3 for 22 and a touchdown, 4 for 39, we just said, and then 3 for 36 and a touchdown. So the dude is basically averaging double digit points over the past six games. And his upcoming schedule is Seattle, Miami, the New York Giants, Washington, and Dallas. So I told you guys to pick up Carson Wentz. I wrote that in the buy low, sell high article for, like, I don't know, 6 weeks in a row. And this was the reason why. Seattle, Miami, New York Giants, Washington Redskins, Dallas Cowboys. That schedule is amazing.
Yeah, as good as Seattle is, they are terrible at stopping the air. You know,
they quarterbacks go, save their lives.
No, the quarterbacks go off on them. So I definitely expect to see a shootout. And, you know, it's in Philly next week. So I definitely expect to see some high numbers. But, you know, with that said, we've seen, you know, I've called that a bunch of times, and it's been low scoring games against good teams.
With the Eagles wide receivers, I don't see any scoring games. Yeah. I don't care what
defense you're not out that's, there. That's
if the Alshon point. Jeffrey ain't back,
you can't start nobody. It's Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. That's it. The passing game. That's
Dallas Goedert is the second tight end on the Eagles, and he's the second best receiver right now on the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm telling you, with those matchups, I would love to have Dallas Goedert. If you're hurting at tight end, I would love to play Dallas Goedert the next 5 weeks.
All right, so that ends the podcast. But first, don't forget to check out the website, www.4thandinchesff.com. It's www.4thandinchesff.com for a bunch of content. You got articles, blogs, player profiles, rankings, and you can subscribe to our VIP content. And until next time, peace out, guys.
Later.
Peace.